How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Joined today by Mike Sempervivi, as we are every week, and we've got a lot of stuff to get into, both pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Of course, last week, we went off the air. We were finishing up with the TNA Lockdown review, the preview, actually. We'll do a review here on this week's show, talk to you about who won what, where this is going for Impact. They tape a bunch of TV this past week, so we'll talk about that. But most of the talk today is going to be about WWE's WrestleMania pay-per-view, which is coming up in just 2 weeks from New Orleans, 2.5 weeks or so. I actually have to look at the calendar. It's coming up quick. But we will be there in New Orleans live. So we're going to talk all about the show. We've got some matches. We've got a big addition to the main event. If you watched Raw on Monday, you are well aware of the Yes Movement storyline that has resulted in Daniel Bryan facing Triple H at WrestleMania. And if Daniel Bryan can beat Triple H on that show, he will be added to the WWE World Heavyweight Title main event. What does that mean? Well, it means the main event will be Randy Orton, Batista, and Daniel Bryan for the title. And then obviously if Daniel Bryan wins, he is the champion. Are they going to pull the trigger on Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania? Is that going to be your big WrestleMania happy ending? We're going to talk about that on the show today. Plus, what did you think of the Yes Movement? I thought everybody in the world thought it was alerted that I was wrong. In fact, there were people that thought that it was too contrived, perhaps, that maybe it was not organic enough. Where do you fall in this debate? We're going to take your phone calls later on in the program. In about 20 minutes, we will open up the phone lines, get your thoughts on the Yes Movement and everything else. So that's coming up later on here in the program. And don't forget, tonight, it is the return of WWE Total Divas, Summer Rae replacing JoJo. We're going to talk about that, plus all the news, UFC 171 and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike is here. We are, as always, watching the WWE Network. Superstars is on right now. El Torito is doing an entrance. And Mike, how are things going with you and the network? We've got 2 weeks until Mania. Are you confident in the network's ability to withstand the demand?
I'm going to have to be. Because while all you guys are in New Orleans live at the event, I am taking my Apple TV with me as I drive from one beach just further south to another beach and go to the Outer Banks of North Carolina with my family to celebrate WrestleMania weekend. And I'm really hoping it works out because that's going to be the way I'm going to watch it. And that's kind of the plan. So, you know, again, I haven't had a lot of the issues and problems that other people have had, and I really hope it doesn't happen come WrestleMania night.
Well, WWE has made a statement to the Motley Fool about WrestleMania. I'm going to read this to you right now.
A safe outlet, by the way. The Motley Fool was one of WWE's biggest supporters as far as being in their corner for the stock for years.
Well, here we go. Notwithstanding, this had to have been written by Vince McMahon. Notwithstanding the overwhelmingly positive response to WWE Network, we want to ensure subscribers have the highest quality experience watching WrestleMania 30 and all of our programming, and thus we have put in place significant quality assurances. These steps include increased capacity to handle high volumes of transactions, logins, and concurrent live streams, daily stress testing of all systems over an extended period. How are you going to do that? And the addition of technology experts to review our plan and procedures. We are confident that we'll be ready on Sunday, April 6th.
Well, do you remember talking last weekend about how you were having, we all seem to be having some problems with it?
I do.
Maybe they
that.
Were going through some sort of stress test.
They may have been stress testing it as we were encountering these problems. I mean, it's you can do all the testing you want. We don't know what's going to happen on WrestleMania Sunday. I think it's going to go off. I shouldn't say anything. I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no earthly idea. I mean, obviously they're not going to mess around here in terms of putting all of their resources towards it. But still, we don't know. We have absolutely no idea what's going to happen that day. I mean, my gut tells me that the idea that nobody anywhere is going to have a problem is ridiculous. I can't believe that would possibly be the case. Now, will the vast majority of people have no problems? Hopefully. But it's impossible to say. And when I saw them make that statement, I kind of thought, that's pretty bold to go out there and make that statement right now.
Well, if they have something that's already ready to be followed up on that hammers Major League Baseball advanced media into the ground to go right afterwards, they're going to do that too. I haven't had as many problems as a lot of people have. I would strongly suggest if you have an Xbox, I would go the traditional method.
Dude, just give up on the Xbox, everybody.
Yeah. Order the traditional method. If you've had an amount of problems, or if you listen to this show and go, I don't know what you're talking about, I've had nothing but issues. If you're one of those people, obviously, as much, don't make yourself a martyr and go, you know, I spent the money once. Just look, if you really want to see WrestleMania and you want to be 100% sure about it, I know you don't want to drop the $60 because you're already paying for it and this is supposed to be one of the perks. Pay the $60 just in case one last time. And then after that, you know, fine. But if there's going to be a problem, it's going to be on this one because this is the one that everybody's going to be watching. This is the one that every hardcore wrestling fan will have the second screen open and they will have given their password to their buddy so they can use it. And then they have a second screen open in the whole nine yards. Everybody's going to be on it. If there's going to be a problem, it's probably going to be that way. So if you're not sure, as much as it stinks, try to get some people over, split the $60, and just order it the traditional method.
I'm not making any money from Apple, Roku, or anything like that, but I've been getting emails from people that are still like extremely frustrated by the Xbox thing. And somebody emailed me the other day, and they said, I had the Xbox. I finally just gave up. I went out and I bought a Roku, and life is great now. And to me, if you've been watching the WWE Network, I mean, on Xbox, maybe you haven't been watching it. You're trying. But if the WWE Network sounds like something that you're going to have for an extended period of time, like you love the idea of it, you were buying pay-per-views anyway, you like the idea of the archives, if all of that is something that you're thinking, man, this network is for me, if you can afford the $99, to me, just go out and buy the Apple TV, go out and buy the Roku, go out and buy something that we can confirm works, and then just like move on with your life. Because I know how frustrating, trust me, I know how frustrating it is dealing with technology issues. It happens to me on a regular basis. It's infuriating. And many times it's like, if I could find a solution that doesn't break the bank, I'd rather just pay the money and like extend my own life. You know what I mean? Like maybe they're going to get Xbox fixed. I don't know, but it's been like 3 weeks now. I still get emails every single day about Xbox, how Xbox sucks, Xbox not working. They claim it's working. It's not. Just go buy an Apple TV. There's a lot of great stuff on there outside of the WWE Network, especially if you've got a Mac. Go out there and buy that thing, and you extend your own lifespan and stop stressing out about this. But I don't know when Xbox is going to be fixed. I don't know if it'll ever be fixed. But this guy right here just tweeted me right now, was using the PS4. It crashed all the time. Bought an Apple TV and it works great. So that's my only recommendation. And I'm making no money from this.
You've heard me be an apologist for the Apple TV too, and you know, conversely, Adam Summers is a big fan of his Roku and loves that. And I mean, look, six and one half a dozen of the other. I know there's the older generations, a Roku 3 or 4, whatever it is they're up to now, and Apple TV are both about $99. You can buy an older generation Roku, and it will work with Netflix, Hulu, the WWE Network, all that sort of stuff, and it's, you know, $49 or something like that. again, if you are starting to get into this technology, this would be a good reason to go ahead and do it, especially if you are having problems with PS4 or Xbox, which are obviously great for games and have been great for certain things, but definitely not the WWE Network for, again, whatever reason.
And there's so much stuff coming up. I mean, if you've got an Apple TV or a Roku, I mean, listen, there are plenty of people cutting the cable cord. You know, if there's certain shows that I have to watch live, like Raw on the USA Network. And so if I didn't have to review Raw until the next day, maybe I wouldn't have cable right now.
Because, like me.
Yeah, I mean, I a lot of the stuff, it's like I can get the WWE pay-per-views on the WWE Network. UFC pay-per-views, if I really wanted to, I could probably get off UFC's website. All of the Fight Pass stuff is online. All of the WWE television ends up on the network. Or Hulu. I mean, Raw, I can't get the next day on the network, but I can get Raw on Hulu the next day, get SmackDown on Hulu the next day, main event, everything. In a lot of ways, this is where television is going. So it's $99 for these devices, and it's going to pay off probably over the long run for you as TV kind of moves towards more and more stuff being online.
Yeah, and you got to figure out what you like. I mean, you obviously get a lot of advantages with Hulu. You get the WWE programming, including Raw and SmackDown, not long after it airs, which you cannot get on the network. So that's cool. But, you know, the Netflix is about, $7 a month. Hulu is about $7 a month. Then you're paying for the network. And Crackle is free on Apple, and that's got some stuff. And, again, there's some pros and cons. There's advantages and disadvantages. You can still get a lot of your local stuff, believe it or not, because you already have an internet connection. But again, you just have to kind of check it out for yourself. But this is the way that things are moving. And again, if this is successful for WWE, if you're a UFC fan, you're probably going to become more reliant on it. And the same thing as it goes with boxing as well.
These Matadorids are on fire here on Superstars.
You got to hit live, man. I've already moved on to the AJ Natalya match, which was great.
Really? Man.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to use my own stuff that I'm promoting here on the show. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about Occupy Raw. A lot of controversy over this segment I was unaware of until Thursday. But we're going to talk about that here on the show. So stick around, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. As Mike noted before the break, if you have not seen the AJ Natalya match, it's on the network right now, and it's a great match. You should check it out. Mike, what did you think of Occupy Raw on Monday? Apparently a more controversial segment than I had been led to believe just from watching it.
Controversial?
Yeah, some people didn't like it.
Oh, well, I could see that. I didn't particularly like it all that much.
What?
I mean, it was good in a lot of ways. I'm happy where they're going. It's just there's a little part of me that's still a little, and I shouldn't feel this way, a little ticked off that it felt a lot phonier than it should have been, because they should have done this in, you know, October of last year, where they really could have capitalized on the heat that he had. And I'm not saying that nobody likes Daniel Bryan or anything like that, but for leading into WrestleMania, it shows the wear and tear that's happened on him and some of the support that he's had, because I thought the place should have been a lot louder. I thought it should have come off a lot fresher and a lot better. And I wish last week in Chicago, as great as that Raw was, I wish they would not have gone off the air with him being laid out by everybody and then getting saved afterwards by Cena and Big Show. I really wish that wouldn't have happened. I know they're pushing Kane and Big Show. I wish Big Show would not have leveled Kane for Daniel Bryan to help him get the pin on SmackDown. I didn't like a lot of that stuff. Now, I like where they're going with it. I like the fact that I'm going to go and assume that Daniel Bryan beats Triple H and ends WrestleMania, you know, with all of the yes chants holding up the title. It's that's the way it should be. That's the way they should go. And I can't, you know, it makes sense for them to do what they did, and it was fine that way. But there is a probably overhanging feeling for a lot of people out there that it wasn't you could tell it where it wasn't where it should be, and then you worry about how Rey Mysterio was booked, and you're already having some odds of looking ahead. Maybe you shouldn't do that, but that's basically what they've created. Again, right place, right time to do it, but you can't blame anybody for having a little bit of the wrong feeling.
Wait a second, right place, right time? I thought you said it was too late. They should have done it in October.
Well, they should have, but, you know, obviously you need this. You have this going into WrestleMania. I mean, look, on if you just laid it out there, that's what they absolutely should have done. But do you really – did that feel a little bit contrived to you with all the people with the shirts? Did you think the crowd was as rowdy a rabbit as it should have been for it the week before this happening and trying to build up this groundswell? Should he have been laid out again by Batista, Randy Orton, and Triple H? I mean, so again, I don't blame anybody if they're not – you know, as rah-rah 100% as, you know, WWE at this point now wants you to be, they did it to themselves. It's like that self-fulfilling prophecy you were talking about. Will Daniel Bryan be as hot of a champion as he should be coming out of WrestleMania? Let's hope so. Would he have been that way around Survivor Series time if he was treated right? You bet.
I think people are overanalyzing this segment. I think that it's pro wrestling. Everything is contrived. I mean, the ideas I've heard that they could have done, like, oh, you know, let's get some real fans, let's do it outside the building.
Am I missing something where a lot of people think they are intentionally sandbagging this?
What do you mean?
Is that like the attitude, I guess?
What do you mean intentionally sandbagging it?
Well, like they set it up where they, you know, you could have gotten a bunch of guys that look like Ralphus out there to wear, you know, Daniel Bryan shirts. And
no, the idea,
you didn't use real people.
The idea, yeah, that's the idea, is that, well, you know, they're all out there. They're all in Daniel Bryan shirts. They're all clearly planned. It's kind of like, what do you want? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
You're not going to get, they're not going to get real fans over the railing to stand there. You know, you're not getting 100 fans to hop the railing and be crazy right there.
Adam Pearce didn't have anything to do. He could have used a couple bucks.
Hey, maybe he was there in the crowd. I don't know. What do you guys think of this angle, everybody? I need to hear some feedback here. I've got some on Twitter over the last couple of days, but let's hear what people have to say. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
This is Steve from Wisconsin.
What's up?
Well, I want to say that, firstly, I agree with you on the Daniel Bryan issue.
Me or Mike?
You, Bryan.
Okay. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
All right, tell me about it.
I think that it's, you know, the thing is, if you look at the main event of WrestleMania, like Batista, well, people have just been taking a dump on him, and Orton has not been the greatest of champion. And then you look at, like Orton has pretty much played a backseat to the authority, as they're being called now, and it's just kind of it's annoying, and really every time I see, the exception here was Stephanie and Triple H. This last Raw, where they were finally kind of like entertaining, but it's just kind of painful as far as like, just angle wise.
So you did not have a problem with the contrived nature of this angle?
I don't find it all that contrived. Like, I thought it was unique. I thought it was, it was something different. It's better than, just burying Daniel Bryan again. I mean, if you watch SmackDown on Friday, like, Triple H literally said, "I will bury Daniel Bryan," and that's paraphrased, but he basically, I know he used the word bury, like, that's what I know, and it's just so kind of almost sickening. At the same time,
I think,
man,
he actually agrees partially with me too. And again, I think this is, again, I'm not blaming WWE for doing. They should have done that exact same thing, you know, with exactly how it went. But I can empathize a little bit with fans out there who believe that some of it was a little bit too contrived, and maybe you have missed the boat, and, you know, thinking that, you know, even the lead up into it from last week, you know, doesn't do any favors. I mean, that's all true. So I can't really blame anybody for saying that. Now, I think anybody that is treating this as a conspiratorial thing of, like, this is just another piece in the machine of them screwing Daniel Bryan or whatever, that's wrong. I mean, they had to do something to get to WrestleMania. And again, they should have done this exact same angle in October. They didn't. They're doing it now leading into WrestleMania, which in theory is all that matters. I just wish they would, again, you know, just because you knew the end of Raw when Steve Austin would come out, somebody was getting beat up and their ass kicked and all that sort of stuff, and you know, you didn't care. So again, this is, I think they should change some of this, because Daniel Bryan should be on a lot hotter streak going into WrestleMania. I mean, that should really be the thing that shoved down everybody's throats, is Daniel Bryan's going to shove himself down everybody's throat and should be a lot stronger and far more as an antagonist for Triple H instead of the other way around, frankly.
Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Will. I'm calling from Calgary.
Will, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to call and chime in on my thoughts on the Daniel Bryan angle. Personally, I was a huge fan of it. I thought it was fantastic. And I mean, I've been a Daniel Bryan fan for, you know, years, back to his indie days. I mean, it's definitely time this happened. However, in my own opinion, it's coming several months too late. I kind of agree with Mike in the sense that the heat from the crowd to this angle should have been way more. I'm a little concerned that they've played it out for too long now. It's kind of getting a little bit stale, and I'm wondering, I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on this. I have this weird suspicion that he might actually lose at WrestleMania.
Maybe out of their minds.
That's where the case.
Out of their minds.
Really?
It's WrestleMania. Yeah, well, I mean, Hunter himself has said, this is the exact words, this will not be the WrestleMania happy ending, which tells me two things. One, it will be the WrestleMania happy ending, and two, it's going on last when he wins the title.
And, I mean, and the other thing
about
that
this.
Is, too.
Hold on a second. Let me say one thing real quick. You've got WrestleMania with 72,000 people in the building, and your two options are 72,000 people in unison, all doing yes chants in a landmark moment, or 72,000 people pissed off and leaving angry. What do you think they're going to do at WrestleMania? I'd be absolutely, completely bamboozled if he does not win the title in the main event. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, they're not going to
bastardize WrestleMania like that by having some sort of cliffhanger that takes you into Raw where, you know, he might win it then or something like that. That's not going to happen, no.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I have my doubts in their booking. I agree with you guys. If they did it, it would be complete and utter idiocy. I just have my doubts. I don't know.
Well, I don't blame you. I want to thank you very much for the call. I don't blame you for having your doubts. I mean, if you watch the way they've used Daniel Bryan since September, everyone should have doubts. But again, it is WrestleMania. And you got to think about the building and what they do at WrestleMania and the idea. I mean, let's think about the options. Hunter beats Bryan, and so you have Batista and Randy Orton alone in a singles match. I mean, there's absolutely no way this is happening. I mean, I don't know. The alternatives to him winning are like so ridiculous at WrestleMania that I cannot even conceive of them. Maybe I'm out of my mind. I don't know.
Do you risk having the crowd go crazy by having Triple H do something dastardly to Daniel Bryan? But then have later on Vince McMahon come out.
Oh God,
and
it'd be horrible.
Daniel Bryan into the match.
It'd be horrible. Horrible.
It would.
Right, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Sammy from New Jersey.
Hey, Sammy, hold on. We're going to head to a break. So stick around. We'll get you when we come back.
Sure.
I got the 30-second warning as soon as I picked up. All right, when we go to the break, we will be back. Sammy will talk to us about the Daniel Bryan angle, I presume. And I'll be taking your phone calls as well, 855-478-4478, toll free. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are on the American Forces Network. Big shout out to everybody in the American Forces Network listening today. Cable Radio Network, number of other outlets as well. And of course, for the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates and more radio than you'd have any idea what to do with. We have radio shows every single day, two a day. Got another one coming up tonight, midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, only at WrestlingObserver.com. Exclusive audio, myself and Vinny We run down a lot of different shows, including NXT, Ring of Honor, and yes, the return of Total Divas. That is tonight. We do two live shows every day. You can check them out at WrestlingObserver.com or F4WLive.com. And if you miss a show, no big deal. We've got a subscription area, an on-demand subscriber area. It is $10.99 a month. You can get it for as low as $9.99 if you sign up for a year or more. And as a subscriber, you not only get access to all of the brand new shows, but on-demand MP3 podcast access to every single show we have ever done. The live shows are on the front page, available for you to download within about 5 minutes of them going off the air. And at that point, you can go to the archives if you ever miss a week of shows, you go on vacation, whatever, come back, jump into the archives, grab a show, grab all the shows from the past week, and grab every show we've ever done. Over 5,000 shows dating back to 2005, all available for you at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you like this show, I guarantee you'll have a subscription. Head up to WrestlingObserver.com, sign up, and we got free samples up on the front page. You can listen to the show tonight live if you happen to be up at 3 a.m. Eastern. And if not, sign up. Grab it tomorrow when you wake up. Have something to listen to on the way to work, in the car, wherever you listen to your audio. You'll never run out at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up, check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. All right, we have got Sammy on the line here, who is called right before the break. Sammy, what's up?
Hi, just a couple things. The I'm going to try not to ramble here, but the Daniel Bryan segment on Raw, I kind of see both perspectives. I see the love it and the not big fan of it view, because it come off a little contrived. You could kind of tell that those people were not necessarily straight-up fans from the audience. But at the same time, it was very memorable. It got them where they need to go. It was exciting. And I could tell you that Nikki, my girlfriend, certainly marked out for it when it was over, doing yes chants like a, as she
well,
would.
Well, that's the case.
For.
That's a home run.
That's a home run. Thank you. But one thing I was thinking about it when you guys were talking earlier, I think it was after the CM Punk show, you and Dave were discussing how the WWE is kind of, they've got things going the way they want it to go in terms of the eyes of the fans. They're kind of playing the fans the way they want. And it's kind of the same thing here in WrestleMania. Like, there are people who think that Bryan's not going to win, and there are people who, like you say, he absolutely is going to win. There's no question. And they kind of have the fans guessing. And I think the one thing, Bryan, that you should think about is that the WrestleMania is now on the network, and that means that the landscape has changed and the view on pay-per-views has changed. And while it's, yes, it's still WrestleMania, they still need to deliver, they could have that thought of, well, now we have the network, we can do things differently than we have in the past.
Yeah, I agree. I want to thank you very much for the call. I want to say one thing about contrived, since everyone keeps bringing up the word contrived. You know what's contrived? What's contrived is a professional wrestling match. That's contrived. Two guys in the ring, and they punch each other in the face repeatedly. They never bleed. They bounce off the ropes. You know, they kick out. All this, it's all contrived. It's 100% contrived.
So Vincent Verhey as an athlete.
Don't want to hear that this Daniel Bryan thing was contrived. It's professional wrestling. Of course, it was contrived. Think about this. If I were Daniel Bryan, I mean, people are like, oh man. And by people, I'm talking Todd Martin right here from Thursday. They're like, you know, why did everyone have to wear a Daniel Bryan t-shirt? I'm like, listen, you got 10,000 people in this building, 8,000 people, whatever. You tell me you can't find 100 guys to wear a Daniel Bryan t-shirt? You tell me Daniel Bryan couldn't have gone out before the show and said, fans coming in, I am going to occupy Raw tonight. If you'd like to join me and you have a Daniel Bryan shirt, come speak to me right now.
Jericho would have.
Exactly. So, yeah, everyone's wearing his shirt. Has it picked him out like that? Contrived. Sick of hearing that word.
Well, I think I understand. I have some sickening. Empathy for people that would feel that way, because again, yes, I look, there's something is like bad acting, okay? Because yeah, obviously things are contrived. Steve Austin, really, you know, you can't beat up your boss that often and point a gun at his head and have it pop out as he soils himself and you hit him with a bedpan. At some point you probably would have been fired. So you knew all that stuff was contrived, but you were into it at the moment. The feeling
I will
of
die
it.
Remembering when Steve Austin hit Vince McMahon with a bedpan. That was contrived.
Absolutely. Mr. Sacco was there and born that day as well. that was all contrived, but you got into it. And I guess there, again, there are just some people that they are not into it the way they should be. And they see other people not being as into it as they should be. And they read the crowd and they see those people that aren't going nuts for this in the way that it should be, where you're going to need this to take off of Daniel Bryan being your next big superstar. And, you know, it sounds great right now that they are behind Daniel Bryan and coming out of WrestleMania, he's going to get a major push. He should, he deserves it. And I think that he will, but I don't blame some people out there for not having as much faith, and maybe they're looking at it too cynically, but it's hard to blame them if they look at a thing like, you know, Monday on Raw and they're not as into it as maybe they should be, or WWE would like them to be.
All right, let's go back to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Johnny from Iowa.
Johnny, what's up?
I loved Occupy Raw. I thought it was great.
That's what I like to hear.
As far as throwing the contrived word around, yeah, being a wrestling fan, do I think it would have been better if they all wouldn't have been in Daniel Bryan shirts? I don't know. My point is, creative hit the nail on the head on this one. They're going to use that video clip in upcoming DVDs. Best of Raw 2014 is going to be on there, so I see why they did it. I didn't have a problem with the segment. Thought it was great. I guess my question is, if they put the title on Bryan at WrestleMania, like I'm assuming they will, Extreme Rules coming up is usually a bunch of rematches from WrestleMania. So you're either going to see Brian Batista, maybe Brian Orton. Who are they going to line up as the heel to go against Brian after they put the belt on him?
Man, either Batista or Orton. You know, I would not be surprised if they... I'd have to see Batista's schedule, because obviously he's got what's the movie, Mike? Champions of the Galaxy, Masters of the Galaxy, some galaxy movie he's doing. I'm not a big comic book guy, but the point is he's got a movie
it's
coming
not He-Man
up.
He-Man Masters of the Universe, is it?
It's not the He-Man movie. But anyway, he's going to have some stuff to do starting here in the summer. And so, you know, I suspect that when Batista came back, they told him, listen, dude, you're going to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. You're going to main event WrestleMania. Obviously, it looks like some plans are changing. It does not look like he's walking out of Mania with the championship. So maybe they said to him, they go, listen, dude, Daniel Bryan's winning at WrestleMania. We'll have him pin Randy Orton. You've got an argument and storyline. And we'll do you and Bryan for a couple pay-per-views. We'll let you be the guy to beat Bryan in June or whatever. And then we'll build it up for a couple months. Bryan wins the title back at SummerSlam. I mean, they may have some sort of plan like that. I know that their idea a few weeks ago was that Batista would be main eventing SummerSlam, probably against Bryan. But who knows? Maybe John Cena. I don't know where they're going, but I would bet that Batista...
I'd really like to see Cena.
It's probably going to be Batista's his first major challenger, I would think. And probably Batista and Orton in a three-way first, and then probably just branching out to just Batista.
I'd just like to see Batista at first right after this, just for, you know, all of the reasons that, you know, I was...
Well, Randy Orton's a champion. They kind of have to give him a rematch in storyline.
Not right, necessarily. Right. Depends. You can get Randy Orton out of that by having him upset with what's taken place with Stephanie and with Triple H. I mean, look, down the line, Randy Orton either at least needs to be a tweener or a fan favorite. And by the time they get to SummerSlam, I mean, you could have a Randy Orton-Batista match there, too, in Hollywood and in Los Angeles, where Randy Orton has always, you know, traditionally done well as far as getting reaction. And, you know, that would be big. I mean, I don't think that would be all that bad of a move to go with Randy Orton and get him split away, you know, or start distancing himself as far as being aligned with Triple H and Stephanie.
I guess I remember back in December when they were building up the TLC unification match. There towards the end of that, when the Authority was really so-called motivating Orton, Cena was standing with the Authority. And I just for a split second, I thought maybe we were going to see a swerve. And, Brian, you know where I'm going to go with this. I want to see a Cena heel turn.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I would love to see a heel Cena against Brian at SummerSlam. They could turn him heel for one pay-per-view and turn him back face the next night. They did it with HBK against Hogan.
Well, you know, did you tweet me the other day? Because I remember this argument on Twitter. That's what I thought.
Did.
Yeah.
No.
It's, well, oh, man. I want to thank you very much for the call.
Brian,
but
I'm sorry. I know this is a new world and people hate to think about this stuff, but you have to. take the wrestling TV part that you watch out of it, and include all of the other stuff that goes with it. Until you have a replacement for John Cena that's going to do what he does, merchandise-wise, all the Make-A-Wish stuff, all that stuff, until you have a replacement for him, you can't do it. Or until
guy would argue that Daniel Bryan will be that replacement for a few months.
You're not going to risk that when you're just got your stock up to $30 and you know you're going to, again, with the TV, with everything else, I'm sorry. I know that's not the old pro wrestling way, but that's just not the way.
Yeah, you know what, Mike, to play devil's advocate, I don't think they're, first off, I don't think they're turning John Cena heel, but to play devil's advocate, if they sign a very lucrative television deal, which they claim they are, and they announce the day after WrestleMania that they've got 1.2 million network subscribers, they can do any damn thing they want. They could make John Cena. They could shave John Cena's head and tattoo him up from head to toe and have him be John Satan. And it's not going to matter at the end of the day. They'll be rolling. Vince McMahon will literally, he will be rolling. He'll have a house made of money. It'll be filled with money.
They couldn't even roll with Juan Cena where they could have sold a mask at Christmas time. You think they're going with John Cena?
They didn't have a TV deal or a network deal at the time. I'm saying if they did that, they could do whatever they wanted.
The network turned him John Satan.
You can do whatever you want. By the way, Will here, it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Aye.
Guardians of the Galaxy. And this fella here pointed out that they have made Daniel Bryan more marketable with the yes thing. They've got brand new Daniel Bryan merchandise, including all of those shirts. Remember all those shirts that you saw on Raw that was too contrived because they were all wearing the same shirt? Guess who's number two in merchandise sales right now? Daniel Bryan. So it worked.
Are they going to hook up the artist that started with the Andre Obey thing that they took it from?
Hey, you know where they stole Daniel Bryan's his new T-shirt? Is they stole it from me when I made the Empire shirts in 2006. It's a fact. Stole it from me.
Che Alvarez.
Yeah, they did.
Put air.
So, yeah, that was Occupy Raw, everybody. And we're going to be taking more calls on that when we come back from the break. You have an argument? You have one way or the other you'd like to argue this? I note that every single caller thus far has sided with me. I think that's a very telling fact and objectively proves that this was a great angle.
Hope Tom Martin's listening to this show.
So do I. All right, everybody, we're gonna head to a break. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about, including the road to WrestleMania and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And here we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Tonight, it is the return, Mike, of Total Divas. And Summer Rae is replacing JoJo. Looks like this may be it for JoJo. I believe she's still with the company, but it certainly does not look good. Are you looking forward to Total Divas tonight, Mike? Don't lie to me.
Of course I am.
That's what I thought. Have you got your viewing party all planned out? Have you got the mood lighting installed?
I've got to figure out what I'm going to do here. I'm hoping my Comcast Xfinity app works live TV and will work with E. Otherwise, I need to take some sort of alternate measures because with the Apple TV and all, I don't know if it's showing up on Hulu. I don't know if it's showing up on the network.
Man.
I don't know what
to do. You're screwed, dude. You can't watch it.
Oh, man.
I don't think it's on Hulu.
No.
I don't think it's on Hulu. So wait, you cut the cable, but your Xfinity app will still show you the cable channels?
A lot of stuff actually has live programming on it, like Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. Some shows are locked, but at other times, things are open and available. So it seems to be with all the NBC networks, things like Bravo, E, the Food Network, Sci-Fi, they seem to just not – they tend to not be on Hulu with a lot of their programming. They tend to be way far behind as far as being able to see – other things, so I don't know. I can't tell you.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment, everybody. We got a gigantic preview of Total Divas coming up. And, of course, Road to WrestleMania. We got a lot of matches we got to talk about. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. On the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, we've got Total Divas tonight, as I've been plugging here for a while. Are you ready to hear what this show is about?
I think so. As you're going to talk about Total Divas, I see Sasha Banks and Charlotte are on NXT right now.
Indeed, indeed. Nikki, it says here, must adjust to her life without her boyfriend, wrestler John Cena, by her side. Summer Rae is included on the main roster. Eva Marie parents find out about her elopement. Not Eva Marie's parents, by the way. Eva Marie parents. Like they're a robotic or something. Or she's a robot. Eva Marie parents find out about her elopement. And now she must face their reactions to her decisions.
Bet you it won't be good.
Yeah. That's this week. And next week, everybody. Next week. I don't even know. Apparently this is misspelled. The title is The Brainal Bus.
No, that might be right.
No, that's gotta be a typo. It's gotta be the Brian L. Bus. The Brainal Bus just sounds really bad. But it says
maybe the Brainial Bus, maybe the title comes from something just so incredibly, you know, amazing that was said by someone, possibly Eva Marie.
Brie convinces Brian to get a tour bus. Eva Marie is embarrassed when her past is exposed. And Nikki loses a tooth. I can only imagine the process with which she lost a tooth. We're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, the road to WrestleMania. We'll talk TNA Lockdown, UFC 171, and a lot more. It's going to be great. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And we had somebody here on Twitter saying it's Braniel, Bree, and Daniel. I understand that, but that is not what it says here in this preview. This preview absolutely says Brainel. B-R-A-I-N-E-L. That's Brainel. That's not Braniel. This is just distressing. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Jim, what's up?
You're talking about Total Divas just a few minutes ago. I'm looking forward to it tonight.
I bet you are.
Now, JoJo is gone, correct?
She is history.
I can't say that I'm going to shed a tear because I like, I can't think of her name now.
You like
Summer
her
Rae.
So much you don't remember her name?
Summer Rae.
No, I like Summer Rae a whole lot better. JoJo was just, I don't know, she just didn't fit in or something. She was kind of whiny to me or something. Now, Summer Rae's old. Oh, she'll turn it up.
Well, keep in mind that it's a reality show, and so they had a character to create for JoJo. But, yeah, she did not fit in with the rest of the... She seemed like a fish out of water, so to speak.
Exactly. Now, on last Thursday's Impact Wrestling, what did you think about Tapa knocking Gail Kim in the eye?
This lady, Tapa, I know you're a big fan.
I mean, I like her already, but I mean, yeah, I noticed that too. She stiffed her right good.
I'm more concerned.
Dad's the Barbarian. See him early in his career. My God, Tonga John.
See, listen, I don't like to be too hard on the performers on Impact because a lot of it is not their fault. I mean, Lady Tapa, sure she's a nice girl and everything like that, but she suffers from the same issue as all of the other green people that are on TNA television. Where in God's name are they going to learn how to wrestle? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like I'm a huge fan of Ohio Valley, but you got to remember when Ohio Valley was turning out great workers, they had a regular house show schedule. They had WWE stars coming down and working with the guys. I mean, they were doing it like it needs to be done. And you call somebody up to TNA, and they do a house show here and there. They do a quick match on television. Who are they working with to help them learn? The learning environment is not there for them to really get better. So, I mean, a guy like, just to throw out a name, Garrett Bischoff, Maybe Garrett Bischoff could have actually been something in pro wrestling, but it appears he's done with TNA. He never had the opportunity to really learn to be a good worker. It's just not there for them. The process of becoming great workers is not there in TNA. And poor Lady Tapa she's a classic example of this.
Well, they seem like they're trying to add some women to the lineup, but are any of them going to last?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're doing, Jim. I have no idea. I never have any idea what they're doing there.
Well, is Tessmacher still on the roster?
I don't know. Here's what happened with Tessmacher. I want to thank you very much for the call, by the way. Got to let some other people on. Tessmacher, one day, she went on her Instagram and Twitter and everything, and she changed everything to Brooke Adams, which is a real name, I think. Brooke Adams. But anyway, so everyone started thinking, well, she must be done with TNA. Otherwise, why would she change everything to her real name? Why not go as Miss Tessmacher? So we essentially asked TNA, is she done? And we were told, no, she's not done. She's still here. Everything is fine. Now, I've not seen her since. I have no proof that she is still there besides what has been stated. So, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with Miss Tessmacher. Mike, do you have any comments on any of these topics?
When's the last time she was on TV?
It's been a while.
Well, you know. Guess she can still be riding out the string, you know. Maybe there's technically 2 weeks left on her contract. She just figures, I'm not going back, you know. But technically, she's still there. Who knows? These are the types of questions that need to be answered, though.
How about that? Well, apparently this person has directed me to TV Guide where it does, in fact, in TV Guide at least, say the Braniel bus. So there you go. It does reiterate, however, that Nikki loses a tooth in a match, however, it adds. So it's some incident in a match that causes that to happen. Mike, what did you think? Another very controversial segment, maybe. What did you think of this Velvet Sky Angelina Love segment on Impact? Because I thought it was atrocious.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet. Unfortunately, I haven't seen SmackDown, and I started watching Impact. I was actually watching it as the show started. We saw the very beginning of the show with Abyss's new look and MVP out there.
Corporate Abyss, like corporate Kane?
With the new mask and the whole nine yards, but... I actually filled my time watching Ring of Honor from last week, which I'm happy I did. Plus, the New Japan Cup had taken place, so that kind of took precedent over TNA, unfortunately. Although, from hearing you and Dave Meltzer last night, missed a doozy.
Listen, if you guys have any idea how to explain this Abyss storyline to me, let me know, because there was a 2 year storyline involving Joe Park. 2 years, a 2 year story arc, which at the end of the day appears to have concluded with Joe Park just being Abyss again and putting a mask back on. I wanted more out of this storyline than I got. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe nobody else cared. Maybe no one else cared as much as me. I didn't really care that much. But when the whole thing started, I was intrigued by it. It built. And I was thinking about it when I watched Impact this week when Abyss came out with a new mask on. Just kind of like, I spent 2 years of my life, and now I have absolutely no idea what I spent it on. Because Joe Park is now gone. He's Abyss again. We're literally exactly right back where we started. And I don't know what was accomplished. So, if anybody has any idea, feel free to drop me a line.
I'll tell you what was accomplished, because I spent the $5, and I got one of those Park, and Park towels.
Did you really?
I did indeed.
And what do you do with
it? See, and I think that was the biggest problem with this whole thing, was they were a victim of their own success. I don't think they really knew. I think they had a plan. Remember, it was Bully Ray and D-Von was still there. It was something where it was like Abyss was going to come back around that time, which it would have made probably some sense for that to happen. But I think people actually really did like the Joseph Park character, and they just did not know at the end how to get out of it. There were all those changes with the company and the whole nine yards, so they just... I just think they kind of fumbled themselves out of it and went, oh, okay, now we're going to do this.
I don't know. What did you get a chance to see Lockdown?
I did not.
Didn't see Lockdown either. Man, Mike.
Yep.
I need to pay for you to get cable again or something here. Something's going on.
Well, that was the whole reason why I couldn't. Say again, and the thing was, too, I actually got a copy. I was able to bait a friend of mine to DVR Impact this week because I – and thank God he did because on the website, it's still not up there yet. It's still the show from last week, so – I'm going to have to bait everyone into to buying TNA things for me and recording them, which is, tell you what, that's not easy.
Impact, or the lockdown show, was exactly like what we saw in WCW back in the day, which was they had an undercard, which was not a bad undercard, and there was some stuff on the undercard that was good. And then they had two god-awful, overbooked, horrendous main events, and so... when the show was over, all you remember was how bad the last two matches were, and it just, it negatively colors your opinion of the entire show. It's exactly what happened. Semi-main event, the title match with Abyss coming out from underneath the ring. I saw WWE do this like a decade ago. It's just a horrendous finish. And then the War Games, they did like every War Games they ever do. Nobody cares about the stips, really. Man advantage means nothing. I mean, yeah, people have argued they did it a little. It's not a little. I'm not going to get into this again.
The hand coming up, by the way, from the ring, was that really like Memphis, Tennessee in the 70s, or Hollywood wrestling in the 80s type of schlock too?
Oh yeah, like the creature from the Black Lagoon. We'll talk about this more after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here we Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA, or radio network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're taking phone calls for the rest of the hour, toll-free in the United States and Canada, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. If you're listening to this in your car, for example, and on the screen it has a different toll-free number, don't call that one. Call 855-478-4478. And Mike, we were talking lockdown before we went to commercial, the lockdown, the TNA show here. And again, it was an example, as noted, of a show where undercard is not so bad. But when you muddy up the main event, you screw up the War Games match, you screw up the world title match to such a terrible degree, it just, you don't come out of it thinking, man, am I glad I paid for that show. And I should note, by the way,
a show you got to pay premium pricing for.
At $44.95. I'm used to paying $9.99 a month for the network. Actually, you know what? To be fair, if I recall correctly, I did get the TNA show for $34.99 in high def through, I think I got Frontier Cable. So that was at least, it was better than $44 or $54. It was only $34.99. But still, for those two main event finishes, it was not worth my $34.99. Brian here, by the way.
Again, they would have gotten mine, believe it or not, if they would have actually just put it on some sort of way where I could pay for it and see it, like, through their website.
That's right. Brian here says, after reading the Impact spoilers, do you think Magnus is the worst world champion of all time? Of course not. We've had Jack Swagger. There have been plenty of horrendous world champions. I would not rank Magnus as the worst of all time, at least not yet. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
$34.99. Hey, sorry. My name's Shane. I'm calling from Southern California.
Shane, what's up? Turn me down over there.
Yeah, for sure. I just turned it off. Sorry.
All right, what's up?
Hey, I was just wondering, do you guys actually watch PWG? I know you got enough shit to watch anyway, but...
go watch the profanity here on the show. I have not been watching a lot of PWG of late, no, but I heard that their shows have been great of late.
Okay, yeah, they are fantastic. If you guys ever get a shot, you know, you definitely should do some reviews. I think you and Brian, Brian and Vinny, I think it would be pretty hilarious.
Well, you've got a big platform here, so for everybody listening, what are some good PWG shows to check out of late?
Oh, well, as far as Mystery Vortex definitely sticks out to me as a great one. The 10th anniversary was pretty darn good. The All-Star Weekends have just been absolutely insane. The last show they actually did was the All-Star Weekends. And there's a good Inner City Machine Guns versus the Unbreakable FN Machines. There's a good 10 minutes the crowd would not let them do anything because of the dueling chants, which was simply freaking awesome to be in the building for.
Is Adam Cole still the PWG champion?
He sure is.
Look at that. Inner City Machine Guns, huh?
Absolutely. That's Ricochet and AR Fox. They also had another good spot where they actually did a dueling thing with ACH and AR Fox, where they were the African-American Wolves, the Martin Luther Kings of Wrestling, and the Malcolm Degeneration X of Wrestling.
About that.
Gotta love it, man.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Sempervivi is howling over there.
I'm greatly entertained. Look, that, unfortunately, I just don't get a chance to see a whole lot of PWG DVDs or anything like that. I know, you know, a couple of years ago when Kenny Omega was there, and there was a couple of shows I saw that were actually pretty awesome. And I guess if you live in Los Angeles, there's one of the great perks. A lot of people talk about the East Coast, but PWG is, I guess, for its fans, is arguably, you know, I know those fans care about PWG far more than they care about Ring of Honor or Impact. So for them, it's the second best promotion in the world.
PWG is a hidden treasure because it's out here on the West Coast. And when I mean, I'm sure a lot of hardcore fans have heard of PWG, but when you've got Ring of Honor, it's on national television. You can watch the shows on the ROH website. ROH is just very high profile, and even Dragon Gate USA and Evolve, all of their pay-per-views are on WWN Live. Gabe promotes very, very hard. They're very high profile. So a lot of fans, you know, when they want their independent wrestling, they hear the names of the big stars. They go to ROH or Dragon Gate or Evolve or whatever. But there are so many great matches, and I don't know if the term magical matches is the proper term, but certainly, you know, you can have some ROH and Dragon Gate and Evolve guys all on the same, and sometimes even an occasional TNA guy, all on the same show doing these matches that you would never see in ROH, you'd never see them in Evolve, you'd never see them in TNA. So there are hidden gems to be found on PWG shows. I've gone to some live, I haven't gone in several years, but I remember when I went live, I mean, they were great. But when you're based on the West Coast, and they don't go out of their way to, I mean, they don't search out trying to get like a national television deal, to the best of my knowledge. You don't hear about a lot of PWG shows. I don't think they've ever actually run on iPay-per-view, if I recall correctly. If I'm wrong, someone can correct me ASAP. But, you know, you're on the West Coast and you don't do the iPay-per-view and that sort of deal. I mean, it's you're just, for a lot of fans, going to be hidden in a lot of ways. And
with some of the name, again, Adam Cole is still their world champion. He's been ROH's champion and the face and one of the focal points of the company. And Ricochet, who is the Dragon Gate, and this isn't, and you know, this isn't Dragon Gate USA, this is the Open the Dream Gate champion, the first foreigner to ever do that. He just won that at the beginning of the month over in Japan. So again, you get the Young Bucks, who are the IWGP Junior Tag Champions, or the PW Champions. So you get all of those guys and a mix of guys from all over the world. I mean, you really do kind of get a little of the almost the best of everything.
In fact, they even did an Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano match. So you had like Adam Cole, ROH champion, against Johnny Gargano, the Dragon Gate USA champion. You're not going to get that anywhere else. So check out PWG, everybody. It's some good times. To the
Brian, let me shoehorn just one other thing in there real quick, because we talked about like the boom periods last week and things like that, where we're looking, you know, you look at the WWE roster, you look at NXT and what's there and the possibilities that could be with the network and everything coming down the line. Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole are both really, really young dudes, and they're both really, really good and very poised right now, and they're only going to get better. You look at some of the guys on the indie scene like that who are young and have got the possibilities of working their way into NXT and then later on WWE. That's pretty impressive, too.
All right, to the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, yes, my name is Richard Pickens, calling from Anderson, South Carolina.
Richard, what's up?
I got a question about the Apple TV and the network. I noticed on my iPad app that my shows are updating, I guess, when they update them, but on my Apple TV itself, I'm still behind on my iPad. Do you know anything about that, or are you experiencing that?
As far as like when they add new shows to the network, they're showing up on your iPad faster than your Apple TV?
Correct.
I have not heard that, actually. Do you know how long the delay is before they show up on the Apple TV?
Well, let me put it like this. On my iPad, I have a lot of the Boston Garden shows from 85, 86, but on my on the Apple TV itself, I don't have any of those shows.
Really? Well, I don't have an answer for you, but if anybody is listening has an answer, we'll hopefully have it for you by the end of the show.
Great. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. I had not heard that, Mike. Have you heard that?
No, and now I just kind of want to peep into it on the next break here. I'm ringing up the network again on my phone, and I want to see what actually happens on the Apple TV here.
All right, I'll have you do an investigation after the break, and if anybody else is experiencing that, let me know. I'm also interested in what the lag would be if such a thing is occurring. Brian here on Twitter, Swagger got one or two clean wins at least. Magnus, zero clean wins. So you really got zero clean wins?
Yeah.
If that's true, maybe there is a case for Magnus being the worst world champion of all time.
He's still not the worst world champion of all time.
Says Swagger beat Morrison. Well, who's worse?
The David Arquettes of the world.
Well, yeah, you got me there.
You know.
Did David Arquette ever get a clean win? It's WCW. I put nothing past him.
You know, that's what they would do. Give him a clean win and, I don't know, give Ric Flair 27 losses in a row.
Also got Jose here says, I hope Steve Austin is spending today, 3/16, March 16, hunting the quail that laid the egg that derailed Diego Sanchez's career. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but...
beef tartare for the working man.
Mike is howling over there. Diego,
so ridiculous.
Yeah, Diego on Twitter says, I wasn't... I'm going to try and read this. I'll attempt to correct any grammatical or spelling issues. I wasn't myself last night. I sustained food poisoning, with a random capital F there, by the way, from eating a beef tartare with raw quail egg as a appetizer at dinner. This was This was my own mistake, he admits. I ordered it thinking I need red meat, but raw was the wrong choice. I threw up at first at 2 a.m. all day fight day. He was throwing up. He says, there's more. This was not part of the Dolce diet. I screwed myself. I thought because I had done everything so perfect, I could sway a little and it cost me. I was weak and my performance showed it. If you notice, I didn't go for one takedown because I just didn't have any strength. And then he puts over jury here. Says it's the truth. Now he's upset at the fans talking some terrible things here. And he says he is very brokenhearted and very motivated. It hurts so bad. He will be back better than ever. And he is now going to take a little break from Twitter. So there you go, everybody. Back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here we Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, the American Forces Network. Big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network as well, and of course everywhere on the internet. And if you're a fan of this show, guess what? Later on tonight, more live, midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. It's the Brian and Vinny Show. Only at WrestlingObserver.com. Streams live and free through WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be there talking the NXT show, which is on the network right now, Ring of Honor, and the return of Total Divas as well. That is all tonight. If you miss out, guess what? We have a subscribers area, a members-only area at WrestlingObserver.com. And as part of your subscription, you get full access to every single show that we've ever done. Every time we do a live show, which is two a day, every week, every year. So we're talking over the past nearly 10 years now, over 5,000 shows are available in the archives, all available to you as a subscriber. After the live show ends, and some of them are really weird times throughout the evening, 3 a.m. Eastern, for example. If you miss out, don't worry about it. You wake up in the morning, log in, there you go. All of last night's shows available for you to download, to podcast, however you listen to your audio. And you can always go into the archives and grab any show we have ever done. Every show dating back to 2005, is available for subscribers. So if you like Wrestling Observer Live, you only get to hear it once per week. You are missing out. Head up to WrestlingObserver.com. Check out the live show schedule. Sign up today. There's no better time to sign up. WrestleMania is coming. We got so much stuff coming up with WrestleMania. Sign up today. You get all the audio on demand anytime you want it, any show you want. Plus, you get the Wrestling Observer newsletter and Figure Four Weekly, which come out every week as well. So there's so much stuff for subscribers. It's a steal. $9.99 a month if you sign up for a year or more. It's a perfect complement to the WWE Network. If you love the network and you're starting to figure it out, guess what? Do the same thing for audio. Anytime you need to listen to audio on the way to work, on the way back from work, you can plug the thing, your phone into the auxiliary cable, the auxiliary audio deal on your car. I'm a technical wizard here. Your Bluetooth, however you listen to audio, you'll be able to listen to everything we provide here at WrestlingObserver.com. So check it out, everybody. Mike, what did you think of the main event of last night's UFC 171? Who won that fight?
Johnny Hendricks did.
Oh, yeah?
And I thought it was a hell of a fight, too. I can see a little bit of argument there, but I firmly believe Johnny Hendricks won that fight. I actually had it 3 rounds Hendricks, 1 round even, and 1 round to Robbie Lawler. But it was a great fight. I mean, it was a great, fun fight. You know, I gave the 4th round. I actually had it even. Maybe in hindsight, I should have gave the thing to Lawler. But it doesn't matter either way. I thought Hendricks firmly won three of the rounds, even though he fought probably the dumbest fight he could have possibly fought against a guy like Robbie Lawler, not utilizing his defense, not utilizing his wrestling, and just saying, I'm going out there winging it.
He tried to utilize his wrestling. He just got sprawled on repeatedly.
Well, that's true, but I mean, the way he was throwing punches and completely satisfied and standing in there and throwing punches and leaving his arms down a little bit, which is what he does. Johnny Hendricks is incredibly fun to fight. I think he's a guy that could be a star, not like a GSP or that top level of star, but really a working man's star. But man, he really put himself at risk last night.
Now, more importantly, what did you think of that Jake Shields fight?
That's why I'm not including Hector Lombard in anything too over the top yet. In fact, if it's up to me, just by his performance at the press conference, I put Nate Diaz in there against the Korean zombie or something like that. I have no idea, but I think Rory McDonald should probably get the next shot. And then Tyrone Woodley
Rory
after that.
Rory McDonald, my God.
If you got if you got set up a Tyrone Woodley, Robbie Lawler match to get the winner of that fight, which you know, look how fun that would be. I mean, as far as two guys chopping each other down, and I think no matter what, I'm sorry, Hector Lombard after that performance, and again, Shields is incredibly difficult to look good against. He could just draw anything out to a long decision, which that one was. But I wasn't impressed at all with Lombard as far as him being in the mix with those other guys as far as getting a title shot.
You know, I go to jiu-jitsu competitions, and I just see the most appalling behavior from certain coaches. I mean, I want to see two guys go in there and have a jiu-jitsu battle and see who's going to win. I want to see some guy try and submit another guy. I go there sometimes, and it's just like, I see the coach just going, get your points! They're screaming about points!
I saw too much Karate Kid back in the day. It was like the evil coach.
Yeah, hold him! Get your points! You got a minute! Just hold him down! I'm like, just kill me now. You know, you wonder why you're not selling out any buildings for this jiu-jitsu competition, because it's boring watching these guys yell at their guy. I once saw a coach, I swear to God, I once saw a coach, his guy had been choked out. Choked out. Done. And the coaches, meanwhile, after the fight's over, his guy's been choked out. He's still over yelling at the ref about the points that his guy didn't get. Like, who cares about, A, the fight's over. It doesn't matter. Your bigger concern shouldn't be the points your guy didn't get, but the fact that he got himself choked out. My point of all of this is, I am hoping that we don't have a new generation of fighters coming up whose main concern is, I got to win this fight. I got to win this fight. It's not a fight. It's a competition that I've got to win. I don't want to see that. You know, I know that every fight can't be a Diego Sanchez fight, but oh my God, it just infuriates me when I see it. Just
Brian, I did some Mookie Ghana level work yesterday.
Oh no, don't ruin my day.
I saw somebody sent out a tweet about the fact that there's still a 64% decision rate. I just, for the heck of it, I decided, okay, the fights are on Fight Pass, FS1, Fox, pay-per-view, and FS2. Knockout submissions and draws, and the only other thing we've had has been a disqualification that took place on a Fight Pass card, but there's been 98 fights in the UFC. There have been 62 decisions, okay? There have been 22 knockouts. There have been only 13 submissions. So, you know, it seems
Dude,
to be in again.
I'm not saying I need to see submissions. I don't care. I want to just see guys fight. I don't even care if it goes to a decision, but the guys fought. You know what I mean? That I almost said a very bad word. That Jake Shields fight last night was so absolutely infuriating to me. Because I'm sweating right now as I recap this in my head. Hector Lombard couldn't finish this guy. You threw this guy around at will. You threw him around like he was a child, like he had absolutely he had nothing. Jake Shields had nothing when you clinched with it. You just tossed him around like he was a rag doll. And then as soon as it went to the ground, listen, if your work on the ground sucks, throw the guy on the ground and then have him get back up. Punch him in the face, throw him on the ground, let him get back up, punch him in the... Nothing like that. It was like, I'm going to throw you, and then I'm going to lay here on you, in your guard, and I'm just going to lay here, and I'm going to put my head on you, and I'm just going to hold you down so that I win this round. I saw that for three straight... If this had been a five-round fight, I'd have retired from covering UFC at this point. I just want to see two guys go in there and have a fight!
Well, you got that later on, and in fact, that's the reason that, you know, Condit, if he was not injured, that his name would be in the mix, win or lose.
I'm not burying UFC. The last couple fights, you're absolutely right. I did see guys fighting. I'm just saying, when I look at some of these names that I'm seeing, like, oh, you know, I hope Robbie Lawler faces Hector Lombard. I'm like, no, you don't. Who could possibly want to see that fight?
Somebody who wants to see Hector Lombard get knocked out.
I didn't see Robbie Lawler get knocked out.
And he's not going to get knocked out by Hector Lombard either.
Maybe I'm just
now,
in a bad
Hendricks
mood.
And Lawler, it should be noted, they combined for 308 significant strikes. So, and again, some of those...
What is
very
a significant
fluid.
Strike anyway? This is a serious question. This is a serious question. I watched the Robbie Lawler fight last night. And Robbie Lawler said it himself. You know, I tried to roll with the punches. I mean, he had a very clear plan, which was, I'm going to stand right in front of this guy. I don't think he can knock me out. So I'm going to let him, you know, he had a hard weight cut. He doesn't look in his best condition. I'm going to stand right in front of him. I'm going to let him punch me. I'm going to try and roll with as many punches as I can. The dude's going to get tired, and then I'm going to take him apart. That was clearly the guy's plan. It didn't work, but it was his plan. And you know what? On some guys, that may have worked, and he would have won the fight, but it didn't work last night. But I'm looking at, like, the fight stats, and they're talking about, you know, Hendricks had... The majority, I mean, he had more significant strikes, and it was like 1, 2, and 5 or something. I can't remember but the point was, they're talking about the significant strikes that were landed by Johnny Hendricks. And I just kind of watching it going, so like, what counts as a significant strike? Because how do you consider that a strike was significant and not that the guy rolled with it?
Or, I think it's just the nice way of saying a clean punch.
A clean punch?
I would assume, you know, something that's not like some pitter-patter or something like that. But then again, actually, that doesn't matter either, because Nick Diaz and Nate Diaz are the kings of the overwhelming pitter-patter, you know, barrage of punches. Dominic Cruz would do this too with some wacky shots, and they count. So I would just assume it really falls under clean punching, not something that veered off or something like that.
Well, yeah,
but
that's my question.
Technical...
I mean, I saw both guys hit each other, and they were clean punches repeatedly throughout the fight. But to me, and keep in mind, I didn't watch it again. I didn't write down on a pad numbers. But to me, it seemed like I'd watch, okay, Hendricks hit him, Lawler hit him, Hendricks hit him, Lawler hit him. Bam! Lawler nailed him right there. And to me, it was like, when I think of a significant strike, I mean, it's like a strike when I see it, it's like, he nailed that guy right there. And so, to me, I thought Lawler had more significant strikes in the fight. I still thought he lost the fight based on the fifth round. But I felt that he had more significant strikes in the course of the fight, and so when I see significant strike numbers, it's kind of like, how do you determine what is a significant strike? You punching numbers into a computer as you watch on a screen?
No, it used to be a significant strike in Felix Trinidad fights.
When you knocked him on the ground?
Shot to the groin.
Well,
you were in trouble. He hit the guy low, buy himself some time, a little bit, recover, and he did that more than once. A lot of fighters have. That, to me, is a significant strike.
That's a significant strike, all right, but I don't know. We saw one of those in the Shields fight, actually. The more I think about it, the more in that Shields fight, the more infuriated I am with Hector Lombard than Jake Shields. I don't know.
This was supposed to be him getting over the hump against a opponent that a lot of people thought he could beat, but may not look that great against. But it was you're supposed to do what you can on a night where they're featuring 170 pound fighters, and for all intents and purposes, it's let's see what's going to happen. Post GSP, and instead we have people talking about what if GSP comes back, and not talking anything about Hector Lombard.
The complete inability that people have to knock out Jake Shields is absolutely astonishing to me. It's just like it's one of the great mysteries of the 21st century is people's inability to stop Jake Shields on the feet. It boggles my mind every time I see it. I have no answer.
If you just show his face in the future and then say right next to it without including Melendez or the Diaz brothers, and it just says this guy was one of the guys that got MMA kicked off of CBS, you'd go, really? This guy?
I believe it.
Really?
Yeah.
He just looks like a guy you want to punch in the face. And yeah, I'm surprised nobody's
able to
knock him out.
Some people say that. Some people say that. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm simply recapping this as a fight fan. All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, so much more. And Mike, tonight, Total Divas returns. And my question is, Todd's odds, by the end of the show, are Nikki Bella and John Cena back together again?
I'm going 90%. They get that one cleared up tonight on this show, and because there is just far other much. There's more drama than you can shake a stick or someone's weave at when it comes to Total Divas, and we need to get that sort of nonsense from last season out of the way. Get that nonsense with Daniel Bryan and his Bella out of the way early on. Because
hey,
I
hate to interrupt, but we only got a few seconds. Are you aware that your girl Layla's back? Speaking of divas.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Tell me how much excitement you have.
Oh, yeah. Summer Rae. I need Summer Rae and the other, what's her name, Eva Marie action. Let's do this.
Wow. Yeah, Layla's back, everybody. Return to the house show. Mike's all-time favorite diva, I believe. She is back, so hopefully you'll see her on Raw tomorrow. So, yeah, don't forget tonight, it is Total Divas, everybody. Tomorrow is Raw. We'll be back later on tonight, only at WrestlingObserver.com. Midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. We'll be running down the new episode of Total Divas. Are John Cena and Nikki Bella back together? My God, I'm on eggshells right now. Plus, we'll talk about the Ring of Honor television show and this week's NXT, which is up on the WWE Network, which, by the way, I'm watching Layla on right now, which is where I got the idea to ask Mike about that. So, anyway, I want to thank Mike as always. Thanks, everybody at the Sports Byline and Broadcasting Network, all the listeners as well. We'll be back next week here on Sports Byline with a brand new show. So until tonight, thanks again. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.